Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, I just want to say hello, Ventura. I am home, and I am so excited to be home. You know what? It's funny. You could go all over the world, and there's just something about coming home. And so I'm really glad to be here. I do want to give out our phone number, 419-0008. 419-0008. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And also, we want to make sure that you're downloading our podcast so you can take us anywhere if you need to go, since I know Saturdays are a busy day. So hopefully you're just waking up, having a cup of tea, cup of coffee, starting your day in a positive way. And of course, we've got a full show for you today. And joining me as co-host and one of our sponsors, Kim O'Brien. Kim, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
There you go. And of course, Kim, just let us know that May is National Water Safety Month. And so this is exactly what Kim does. She is so passionate about, and especially, you know, unfortunately, we do things because of our journeys, and that's exactly what Kim has done, and now she is out there helping other families. And of course, her business is Survival Swim with Kim O'Brien. And Kim, talk to us for a second, just to kind of tell us what the drowning statistics are in water safety.
It is unbelievable, Kim, the statistics for drowning. I wish I had known them sooner, but I am so glad to share them with everybody so people can be aware and plan. The number one cause of death for kids 1 to 4 is drowning.
So you just get chills, yeah.
It's huge. It is huge. You could fill 10 busloads of kids every year. It is absolutely horrific. And in California, because we have so much water, drowning is the second cause of death for kids 14 and under. The only thing more is car accidents.
So wow.
It is.
Well, we're going to talk more with you. I'm so glad that you are here. You're in our newsletter. You're on my social. Give out your website and your phone number before we can get started.
Sure. You can find me at survivalswimwithkim.com. And my phone number is 805-620-7177.
There you go. And I do like to start our show with something uplifting. And of course, one, I'm so glad that you've tuned in here and that you're spending your hour with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. You can stream us at kvta.com or you can download our show and listen to us after. So all of that, we're able to be a part of your life. We always start our show again, and happiness is a direction, not a place. So we have to work really hard to find that happiness, and we hope that we're helping you here on the Kim Pagano Show. I just want to take a moment to introduce our first guest, David Erdman, and of course, his book, The 10 Commandments of Marriage. And David is a highly regarded divorce trial attorney and public speaker in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he served on the city council as a lawyer who has worked with more than 5,000 divorce clients. Hopefully, this book is going to help us so we don't have to keep going down that road. But he has presented the 10 Commandments of Marriage in a picture-filled PowerPoint program to a variety of churches, civic groups, and audiences. And happily married for more than 35 years. I'm right there with you, David.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Erdman, his goal is to help other people, and whether clients or audiences, members, to think strategically about how they improve their marriages. David, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for welcoming me today to California. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, I know after being home from COVID and all that kind of stuff, there was actually a huge rise in divorces. Is that correct?
Well, I tell you what, it may be correct in California. I don't know. But here in North Carolina, Charlotte, where I practice law, I see it as about 50-50 because I've had numerous clients recount to me that they rekindled their marriage during the time together. You all can understand, of course, that if they, for example, had an outside a lover, then that would probably have stopped with the
That's a really good point. You're right.
So I don't have data to tell you which way it ended up going.
But you know what?
A challenge.
I have to tell you, being home, and, you know, I was just talking to somebody at one of my grandson's baseball games. I think it actually helped so many people in so many ways. I mean, obviously, there's devastating things that happen, but to just pause, to really kind of take that moment to get to know each other, not run 24/7. So on the positive, there is a lot of positive, but I remember hearing that, you know, in the news that, you know, people were kind of like stuck in the house with each other, so they were going a little stir crazy. But I'm glad that I like that. That would be my wish for people, that it really just gave them, you know, you want to be with the family that you chose to be with. So I like that.
I like to think that. You know, I wrote this book, The Ten Commandments of Marriage, as 10, I'll call them rules. They're certainly not commandments. I didn't go up on the mountain and get them, but I did divine them from 5,000 encounters with clients over the years. And I was noticing that in the original Ten Commandments, 7 of them are thou shalt not. Only one of mine is thou shalt not. I'm of the opinion that most people know what they ought not to do. What they often need is some positive direction and maybe some new ideas in their marriage. I personally think that people would benefit from this book if they were fortunate enough to encounter it before they even got married. I know. Mm-hmm. But my book is taught in a Sunday school class, and I've been invited to come speak to them, the young married, because I know that your theme is, of course, happiness. And so it made me smile, but also think about my fifth commandment, because my fifth commandment is thou shalt communicate your need to make sex fulfilling for both of you. It's the only time I talk about sex, but the fifth commandment that I've written says it's my responsibility to communicate what I need. It's my spouse's responsibility to communicate what she needs. And it's our mutual responsibility to listen and perceive and grow together and try to accommodate each other. And of course, that changes over the years for many couples, as you might imagine. But
absolutely,
you got to stay close to each other.
Kim, let me include you in this. What's your thought on this?
I find it fascinating because you're right. We don't want to be told what not to do.
We need
right. We want suggestions to make things helpful, but don't tell me what not to do. Right?
I like that. Yeah. And you know what? We are not mind readers. We have to be told, even if you think you know your partner, a lot of times you don't. And maybe, you know, they've been afraid to say something, or maybe they, you know, just put up with it for so long. And so if you have to be open and listen, you know, I remember my mom used to say this, is we work so hard on our businesses, and sometimes we don't work that hard on our relationship.
That's so true.
One of my commandments, one of the commandments is commandment number 7. Again, a positive request, suggestion. It's thou shalt lead a marriage-centered life. And I explore in that concept a recognition that people can easily say, well, what about my job? What about our children? But it turns out that the foundation of having a marriage as the focal point from which all of those other activities and concerns emanate is the most solid foundation for going forward. One of the commandments is, thou shalt be a team. And I explain to people about that. But the number one commandment is, thou shalt be equal. And in fact, the person who came to my office today's Thursday, Saturday, the person who came to my office this past week was getting ready to get married, and she was being asked to sign a premarital agreement. And I have strong thoughts about how that can affect a marriage. So she read my book, and we were able to get on the same wavelength. Now we're just trying to get the prospective groom on the same wavelength so that we write a premarital agreement so that it literally strengthens the marriage rather than threatens the marriage, as so many of them do.
And so is that something that you work with a lot of people with?
Well, I don't write a lot of premarital agreements because primarily people come to me when they're at the back end of a marriage that's not going well, or at least they're somewhere toward the end of a marriage that's not going well. But when they remarry, and it turns out this particular person was a former client of mine, and she came back and wanted to talk about a premarital agreement, as so often occurs with premarital agreements, they're very one-sided. They're not equal. They're not really oriented towards helping make the marriage stronger. They're oriented towards saying, well, what's mine is mine, and you can't have it. And those of us who have been married as many years as you and I, Kim number one, have, recognize that will work. You can't go around saying, this is all mine. We need to say it's ours, and we need to work together to make more and more of it. So,
right. But at the same time, you do have to protect yourself and protect, you know, it depends on what the situation is. So I guess there's just a very communicating way to do it, right?
There is. Let me tell you what, I invented a concept called milestones, and I've convinced lawyers on the opposing side of negotiations for premarital agreements to accept my idea of milestones. And an example of a milestone in a premarital agreement, in fact, I'm not mentioning any names, but I can tell you about the woman in particular. Her new husband wants to be insulated forever and for always from having to pay alimony. Okay, that's very common. That would be a contention, even though he makes a lot more money. And he also, forever and always, wants the right not to leave her anything in his will. And my philosophy is, maybe that makes sense for the first 5 years. You have to build up some trust. In an extreme case, maybe 10 years. But a milestone in a premarital agreement can provide that after, for example, 10 years, that the normal state laws related to inheritance will govern this couple instead of this sort of skeptical, cynical, defensive posture that is always at the beginning of a premarital agreement. I call it aging out, or in the legislative world, they call it sunset. We sunset certain provisions. And so when these people grow old together, and I hope they do grow old and that they're together, that the wife won't find out when she's 94 that she's been left nothing, because his premarital agreement from way back in 2022 said he didn't have to leave her anything.
I like that. Milestones. Very cool. So let me ask you, how do you create a win-win situation for the whole entire family?
Well, the best we can hope for, depending on the degree of divorce rancor, is to try to refocus the mutual interest that the two individuals ought to have in doing best for their children. And so I try to point my clients toward the future and think about the children. Now, not every couple has children, and if they don't have children, frankly, their divorces are easier, because when they go apart and settle their property or alimony, if anything, they're done with each other. But people who have children together, of course, are never done with each other. It's not only till death do we part. It's every family event related to the children forever and as long as we live. And so I try very hard to help my clients recognize that they do have a concern about their children. And by the way, they all swear they do. And I believe they do. Although a lot of people have trouble putting the children's interests anywhere close to being on par with their own when the chips are down in a marriage fight. But I used to keep a list of what I call success stories, and that's where people who came to me ended up getting back together.
That's beautiful.
I didn't get them back together. They did it, but maybe I helped, and I certainly did everything I could not to hurt.
Right. David, I love, I can't wait to get your book, and I want to let our listeners know how to get your book. Where do they get it?
Well, let's get the complete name, because I learned after I wrote it that there are two other books with a similar name, but there's part of mine that's different. The Ten Commandments of Marriage, Secrets of a Divorced Lawyer. That's my book. And of course, it's on Amazon. Secrets of a Divorced Lawyer, The Ten Commandments of Marriage. And I believe based on the feedback I get about the book and the experiences I have every single day as a lawyer, that many people in your audience will benefit from it. And by the way, if they find out they've already obeyed all 10 commandments, then they have a spectacular marriage.
There you go. David, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I look forward to reading your book. And again, please download our podcast and share our show with everyone.
Kim and Kim, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. All right. Kim, we're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to find out all about what you're doing right now. So stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Barbara Doust is a mindset strategist, business coach, author, and inspirational speaker. She can help you break through your inner ceilings to play a bigger game in business and in life. In a short period of time, she shows you how to grow your self-worth, to grow your net worth, and introduce you to the parts of yourself that you haven't met. You don't get what you want, you get who you are. Schedule your complimentary Play a Bigger Game session today at BarbaraDoust.com. That's Barbara, DAOUST.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this.
having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, every Saturday from 7 to 8. But then you can also download us and take us with you. Download our podcast, The Kim Pagano Show. Kim O'Brien is joining us here today. Thank you so much for being here and all the way through the show, Kim.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. And of course, you are all about Survival Swim with Kim. And of course, that is your website, .com, correct? And
correct.
Also, your phone number, I just want to give it out again, 805-620-7177. And again, we talked a little bit about this. May is National Water Safety Month. What does that mean exactly? And what are some of the water safety tips?
Sure. Well, because, you know, drowning is such a huge statistic for so many, They created several years ago Water Safety Week, and then it moved into Water Safety Month because it is so important to get facts out there to people and safety tips. So
right.
May is that month, and in May we have one of the deadliest weekends. Memorial Weekend is one of the deadliest for drowning, so it's very important to be aware of the safety tips prior to big weekends like that.
Wow, that's a big deal, and that's coming up, of course. So let me ask you, I understand that obviously water's dangerous. I mean, we have a pool around a fence around our pool, and we've always done it, but how can we take even a bigger step to help
sure.
it?
So there are so many different layers of protection and swim safety rules. You know, definitely having a fence is big. But always having hands-on supervision with kids that are not water skilled. Don't put your kids in floaties and trust the floaties. They are not safe, and teach kids the improper way of body position.
It's so, almost like a false safety, isn't it? Like they think they can. Yeah. So in fact, both my daughters are like, whatever you do, don't let them use any kind of floaties. We used to years ago. And so that's a big problem now.
It is really big because they're marketed so well as water safety, but you put your kids in them and the kids don't realize that's what's keeping them up in the water. They think they can do anything. And so you take that floaty off and they accidentally, you know, jump in or fall in and they have no idea what to do and panic. And that's how accidents happen. So floaties are a huge problem. You can use, you know, Coast Guard approved life jackets. Those are great, and so some of them are even positioned, make the kids position to float on their back. So, you know, that's even better.
Right.
But the arm floaties are just not good for kids.
Okay. And so what are some of the important water safety tips that you can share with our listeners?
So number one is never swim alone. Mm-hmm. You always need to have somebody with you at the pool. If all of you are swimming, you know, maybe have someone that's not going to be swimming because if something happens in the pool, you need someone that's able to jump in and help quickly.
And Kim, you're even talking about adults, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, God forbid somebody has a heart attack or something, exactly. You can't get out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You need someone there to assist you. And you have to be careful if you're assisting someone because they could pull you under. So you always want to have someone that knows how to assist someone out of the water properly.
Mm, that's a big deal too. Yeah. Good point. What else can we learn from you?
So another thing is to assign a water watcher. If you're having a pool party, take rotations. You know, somebody may not want to watch the pool the entire 5 hours you're there, but if you every 15, 20 minutes rotate and have someone focused only on the pool, then that makes it so much easier and everyone can enjoy the party then. And you know that the kids are safe from the pool because someone's focused.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a really good point. I mean, a lot of people hire their own, lifeguard, but yes. Do you have to, or you're just saying somebody to watch the pool? Either one, right?
Just so they're not distracted because, you know, at parties, people get distracted at barbecues. You know, people are standing around talking. And, you know, over 60% of accidents occur when one or both parents are present. It's not because people, you know, were bad parents and not watching their kids. It's because you turned your head for a second or, you know, went to get another, you know, soda or, you know, something like that. It's instant. Drowning is very quick and it's very silent. So having someone with their eyes on the water at all times is important.
I like that. And so what is it important when is it important for kids to start learning? But obviously, you know, talk to us about the importance. Like,
sure.
You know, I mean, a lot of people try to teach their kids themselves. Is that wise or talk to us about that?
Sure. So learning to swim can actually reduce the risk of drowning in 1 to 4 year olds by 88%. That's huge.
It's huge.
If you can skill your child when they're young, then, you know, they will have, you know, a much better chance later on in life. And usually when you start kids young, they're swimming laps around you by the time they're 3 or 4. And kids as young as 6 months can start learning how to float and independently and learn water safety skills because you just never know when something could happen. So it's much better and easier to start them younger than it is to wait until they're older.
There's nothing scarier than when you have an adult that doesn't know how to swim and they can't. How many times do you run across that? And they can't even help their own children if, God forbid, there was a problem. So what's your thought on that?
So I actually have had quite a few parents not able to swim. And it is scary because they wouldn't be able to do anything. And so they've actually, you know, chosen to learn how to swim in order to be safer for their kids.
Right.
So I think that is commendable. You're never too old to learn how to swim. You can always learn.
Yeah. I kind of want to just throw a little challenge out there to anybody that I don't care how old you are. If you do not know how to swim, take some lessons. And, you know, and really just be empowered so that you could help somebody else, God forbid, ever needed it. So, Kim, let's talk about what is survival swim?
Sure. So survival swim teaches kids the important water safety and self-rescue skills in the water so that they have the ability to roll over and float on their back independently for a length of time. They know how to hold their breath properly, not blow bubbles. We never teach to blow bubbles because that gets rid of your air and you need air to survive. That is so important to don't teach your kids to blow bubbles in the water.
Good point.
Kids, babies as young as 6 months can learn how to roll and float. And toddlers learn how to swim with their face in the water, how to propel their bodies in different directions, how to roll over and float for air and safety, and then how to roll and swim again so they can make their way across the pool by themselves.
And do you have pictures of this on your website?
I have pictures on my website and on my social media that I have videos and pictures of kids that I've taught going through lessons and the skills that they've learned. It's absolutely amazing when they
And at 6 months old, they, you know, you think you don't, your kids might not even understand what's going on, but they do, right, Kim?
So it is all muscle memory. The same way they learn to crawl and walk, repetition is so key. That's why our lessons are so frequent. They're 4 days a week for 6 weeks because kids need that repetition. But they're short. They're only 10 minutes because, you know, their attention span is very short, Kim. The average two-year-old can only hold attention for about 4 minutes. So a 10-minute lesson is long to them.
Wow. How many kids are you teaching right now?
I'm teaching about 30 kids right now.
That's incredible.
A day, 30 kids a day for, about 5 days a week. So
you are phenomenal. I just think this is so worthy of what you're doing for the community. And, you know, let's just, if you don't mind, share a little bit about your experience. I know that our listeners, heard you the last time, but maybe some of our new listeners or some of our listeners don't remember your story.
Sure. So water safety is just, it has become a passion of mine because I lost my daughter when she was 2.5 years old to drowning. She accidentally fell in a pool when the gate didn't latch properly. And unfortunately, drowning happens so fast. It is silent. You don't hear splashing. And so that's what happened. She fell in the pool and she was found fairly quickly, but she just could not recover. She was on life support for 6 weeks in the hospital before she ended up passing. And, you know, you learn so much when things happen.
Yeah.
Gosh. I have five children. So I wasn't a new mom. I've been around water a long time. All my other kids learned to swim. We learned to use floaties and puddle jumpers because that's what they said was safe. I didn't realize the danger that was putting her in, and I wish I would have known sooner. But now it is my goal to help other families not have to go through such a tragedy, because I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Oh my gosh, I my heart goes out to you and your family, and through our journeys is what happens when we give back and share. And so the things that you're teaching your families, what are some of the most common asked questions about survival swim lessons?
So one, is it safe?
Because
there are a lot of videos out there of people just throwing kids in the water. We don't throw kids in the water. That is not a true survival swim instructor if they're throwing kids in the water. A trained survival swim instructor. I'm trained with infant aquatic survival, and it's very lengthy. I spent hundreds of hours in the water. Plus, we get trained in child development, behavior, and safety, so that we know what we're looking for when they're in the water to make sure that they're safe and not, you know, swallowing or getting water in their mouth or choking or anything like that. And that's another reason lessons are short, is because it's a lot of work for kids, and we want to make sure they're safe during their lessons. So safety is my number one priority, keeping kids safe. That's why I do this. So I would not do anything that would put the kids in jeopardy in the water.
Right. When they see you, do they start crying like, oh, no, there's that lady again?
Instantly, yes. It is so common. You know, babies cry. That's what they do. That's their form of communication.
Right.
And I'm not mom and dad. I'm a stranger virtually. I mean, they get to know me after, 4 days a week.
Right.
But still, it becomes routine, basically. As soon as they walk in and see me in the pool, they start crying. It's just, they know I'm going to make them work, but they still do it. It is amazing to watch them do it, even though they don't love it all the time, but they do the skills. And as soon as I hand them back to mom or dad, instantly they're fine. they start smiling. They'll give me five. They'll, they'll tell me thank you. They'll blow me kisses.
Aww.
I love it so much. It is amazing, but they will cry. That's what they do. And a crying baby is a breathing baby. So I would rather hear them cry than hear silence.
That is so good, Kim. Okay, so how do our listeners get in touch with you? And
let me just tell you, if your grandparents out there, if your kids or you have your own kids, whatever it is, or you know somebody that has a pool in their backyard, please share Kim and survivalswimwithkim.com. But what, again, give out your phone number, Kim.
Sure. 805-620-7177.
Okay, and leave us with, I know you're going to be on with our next guest, but leave us with, you know, one tip. I guess I should even know, just no floaties. No floaties, right?
That is the biggest thing, false sense of security, and it teaches kids to be in the drowning vertical position, and you don't want that. You want them to learn the proper body position.
Wow.
It takes kids much longer to learn to swim after they've been in floaties because their feet are stuck in the underneath them. So don't put your kids in floaties. Just don't start it.
Wow, pretty good.
Hold them in the water.
Sounds good. All right, we are going to just move on right on over to our next guest, Kim, and please stay with us. And I love what you do, and thank you so much for being here. Our next guest is Michael P. Cohen, and we're going to talk about Neural Feedback 101, Rewiring the Brain for ADHD, Anxiety, Depression, and Beyond. And Michael is the author, and people frequently ask him how he got into this field of neural feedback, and it involved his family crisis. And his dad had been suffering for years from severe depression. And so he was trying to help him. In fact, I'm going to just bring Michael on to share a little bit more about this. But Michael Cohen,
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, and I also have Kim O'Brien on. She's co-hosting and sponsoring our show today.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah. So talk to us. So you basically have a clinic in Jupiter. It's one of the largest neural feedback practices in South Florida. And this all kind of came from a journey that you had with your father, correct?
Correct. So when my dad actually retired at age 77, he went into this severe depression that lasted over a couple of years, and he was seeing the head psychiatrist at Vanderbilt Medical School, and they tried every medication, and he was so severely agitated, depressed, and there had been some earlier things like this, but it had kind of gone away, and now all of a sudden he retired. He can't focus on reading a book. You can't have a conversation with him. He can't watch TV. He's just consumed with this depressive, terrible stuff that goes on in his mind that he has to tell you about. And so that was his day all day long, and he would pace up and down. And so a very severe case. And so my mom was near Vanderbilt Medical School, and they saw the head psychiatrist, and nothing worked. And then they ended up doing shock therapy, which they still do today, and that did not work. And so it was like, so he's in his late 70s, you may have to institutionalize him. That was not a very good answer. So I started looking for anything and everything and tried a number of things that did not work. But when we had one psychiatrist that came across, said, you ought to check this thing out I'd never heard of called neurofeedback. I checked it out. I did a lot of research. I actually went to the library. This was kind of before you could find all this stuff on the internet. So I went to the medical school library in Atlanta, and ultimately, he did the neurofeedback. We got my mom to take him to the closest place, 6 hours from where they lived. And when I went to visit him on the sixth day, because I was working and I had to drive a couple hours to see him, when I walk in, he's there in the center doing the neurofeedback, and he turns around and he says, Mike, how's it going? I'm like, okay, this is different. We were not having conversations. He was not engaging.
Wow.
So it was like, what is this? And so that was... it was quite dramatic. It was like, how come I'd never heard of this? It really made a huge difference in how he turned around. It wasn't like he couldn't stay there all that long. We couldn't continue to do training 6 hours from my parents' house. But it started him to get better, and it allowed other things to start working. So that's when I started the journey, because I really came from more of a high-tech background, and mm-hmm. then I realized, wow, lots of people need this. So ultimately, I quit doing what I was doing. I made a lot more then than I do now, really to help the guy that saw my dad come to Atlanta, and we opened the center. So that was a crazy thing to do, but it was so compelling, and I've seen and met so many other clinicians with family stories that got them into it, with kids that, you know, the kids of families who were struggling so difficult, with so much trouble trying to get them under control with behavior or attention or even other things. And this is just a common story. People start this because of a personal story. That's what happened to me. But there are many people who got into our field because they needed more help than they could get. And this is just a really powerful tool for doing it.
Okay, so thank you for sharing your journey. And just like Kim was here sharing her journey, so many of us, it leads us to our passion. You don't realize this is something that you can help so many other people. And so I love that. Let me ask you, first of all, you mentioned the shock treatment. What is that shock therapy?
Repeat. I'm sorry. Just repeat that question one more time. I just misheard it.
Shock therapy. What is that? You mentioned that.
You know, shock therapy or electroconvulsive therapy is what is used for severe depression when nothing else works. So it's done in typically a hospital environment by MDs, and they're doing shock therapy, high electrical shock therapy. So
okay, that's really scary. I wanted to just clarify that. So now what is neural feedback? Okay, is it where you're putting that machine on your head and you can actually see your thoughts? Is that what it is?
I can't see your thoughts. No, I can't do that. But what it is all of our brains make electrical activity. And the electrical patterns of your brain affects how you think, how you go to sleep, how you quit thinking about something that you can't get out of your head. I mean, that's part of an electrical system. How you listen, how you pay attention. All of those are part of the electrical system. And you've heard of neurons. We all have these billions of neurons in our brain. They're firing all the time. And what we're doing is we're measuring the electrical patterns. In other words, we're measuring how many neurons are firing in a certain pattern. We're using special equipment. You know, we're using special equipment to measure your brain waves and tell you when you're making more of the brain waves that help you be calm, when you're making more of the brain waves that help you pay attention, when you're making more of the brain pattern that helps you fall asleep. So all of these can be easily measured. And then your brain is learning how to practice. It's like any video game. You're practicing getting better at the game, right? I don't know how to play this game, but I'm going to get better at it. Okay. Your brain, when the computer tells you when you're making the pattern and then you're not making the pattern, you're making the pattern, you're not making the pattern, your brain learns, just like any game, how to get better at refining and doing better at that pattern. So it's really a very simple process. You sit, you're almost sitting in front of a movie, and the movie will fade in or out. You know, gee, if my brain is being more calm, I'll see the movie. And if the brain is being less calm, I don't get to see the movie, or it starts to fade out, or it gets smaller. So there's different ways to do it, but that's a really simple example of just the computer helps you practice making the patterns that help you be more calm or more focused or sleep better or control your emotions.
Incredible. That is just incredible. Kim, any thoughts?
How long does it take?
So,
great question.
So this is practice. And this is your brain learning to be better. So let's say you happen to be really good at being anxious. God, these thoughts overcome me, and I cannot shut my brain down, and I can't quiet my brain, and I start worrying. So you've really got worry and anxiety down really well. You got that pattern really good. how long is it going to take for you to get good at being not worrying and being calm? Well, it varies for everybody. I can't give a complete answer because, you know, if I said, I want you to go to the gym and get in really good shape, how long would that take?
Yeah, it's very individual. I love it. Michael, wow, good stuff you're doing. And how do our listeners find out more about you? And, you know, if they have somebody that needs this, how do they find you?
So if they're in Southern California, if they're in other places all around the country, what you're looking for is someone who's experienced who does neurofeedback in your area. So you're going to be typing in neurofeedback and your zip code or neurofeedback and your city. And then you're going to have to, just like looking for a therapist, you need to find out, okay, are they experienced?
What is your
website? How long
website,
have they been doing
though?
And all that stuff?
Michael, give us your website.
So our website is Center for Brain. So that's three words, centerforbrain.com.
Yep. Okay.
There's a lot of good basic information that really helps educate people. And you can actually read about what people have gone through. In other words, we've written up a number of our clients who were willing to share what they went through and how they benefited when they did this, so that you hear it from the clients.
Okay.
And
perfect. Well, I thank you so much for sharing it. And please download our podcast and share our show with everyone. Really good stuff that you're doing out there. I'm going to look at your book and also follow you. So thank you so much.
Well, it's terrific to talk to you. Thank you both. Nice to meet you both.
All right. Take care. All right.
I want to recognize our next guest and, of course, two of the founding partners of Primary Care for America, a new collaboration of experts working to shift the conversation by educating people about the value of prioritizing high quality primary care for everyone. And joining me is Sean Martin, Executive Vice President and CEO of the American Academy of the Family Physicians, and also Dr. Fernapulli. He is the Chief Innovation Officer of One Medical. And they're joining me this morning to talk about the concerns and what's going on. Welcome, doctors, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Doctor, let's start with you. What is the main role of a primary care team, and why should we all have one?
One of my mentors, Barbara Starfield, who was a pediatrician and a health policy professor at Johns Hopkins, she talked about the four C's that make up primary care. The first is that it's comprehensive. It's a doctor who looks at my whole person, not just one organ system, one part of me. It's continuous. It's based on a longitudinal relationship, and I get to keep that same person over time, so they get to know me and my values and what I want. Third, it's first contact. It's a place I can go for anything. Finally, it's coordination. It helps me navigate the rest of the healthcare system. So it put another way, it's someone who gets to know me, gets to know all of me, sticks with me, and is the first place I can go. It can help me make sense of this crazy non-system we have. Health is very complicated, as you or your listeners probably know, and the system even more so complicated. And all of us, you know, need someone to be on our side and help us make the best of it, to find problems early, to better manage chronic conditions, navigate the healthcare system. And this can lead to better outcomes and better health.
I have to agree wholeheartedly, because if you start going to different doctors and each one of them doesn't know what the other one's doing, you could be taking medicines that maybe interact with each other or don't interact. Agree?
That happens all too often, unfortunately. And every one of those doctors are probably doing what they think the best thing for their particular organ system. But as a whole, it leads to really bad outcomes.
Mr. Martin, studies show that the U.S. spends twice as much per person on healthcare than other developed countries, yet we're less healthy. Talk to us a little bit more about that. What needs to occur to improve our healthcare?
Yeah, data does show us that when people have an ongoing relationship with a primary care physician or a primary care team, they have better health outcomes and live a healthier life than those who do not have a regular primary care team. So we as a country, or we as a healthcare system, need to focus on creating greater access to affordable primary care, and we need to shift to prioritize a patient's physical and mental health over the course of their lifetime versus just focusing on them when they are sick.
Doctor, back to you. Why should patients get involved to influence the change when it comes to funding for primary care?
It affects all of us and our families. You know, when we rely on a broken healthcare system and try to do this by ourselves, we're really vulnerable to preventive diseases, to chronic conditions, and not getting the care we need or want. You know, in a healthcare system that prioritizes primary care, that invested the right amount in it, would allow us to better tackle whatever nature throws at us. So I've had the privilege to start and run what's known as an advanced primary care practice. And we get paid double what typical primary care does. They've been able to invest in more time with our patients, better technology, more robust teams like health coaches who can help people actually execute on their plans. And what we've shown is dramatically better experience, dramatically better outcomes, a lower use of the hospital and the emergency room, and actually lower total cost of care. And this is what everyone in America really needs, a primary care Homer team that's invested in correctly, and we would be healthier and stronger overall.
I think we're better together, right? And people need the support to going through life. And all, can you share how patients can get involved to influence change?
Yeah, so each of us as individuals and patients and advocates should talk with our employers and elected officials and others and share how much we value primary care and encourage them to prioritize health, primary care in our healthcare system. And as we've said, even though primary care is the only type of care that has demonstrated the ability to improve the health of individuals of all ages across our lifetime, it is still tremendously underfunded in our healthcare system today. So we need to advocate for a more robust, more accessible, and more affordable primary care system.
I totally agree with both of you and a whole this conversation. Finally, where can we and my listeners find out more information about all of this?
Yeah, so we would encourage everybody to visit primarycareforamerica.org to see the possibilities of when we invest in primary care.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and our next guest, of course, spring is in full bloom. So people with allergies and asthma are facing their annual challenges. Summer Curley is going to talk with us. Let's welcome her.
So welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am I work for Rite Aid. I'm a pharmacist at Rite Aid. I oversee our clinical service program. So I focus on health conditions that impact, of course, our customer lives.
Okay. And so, of course, spring is full bloom. So people with allergies, I it's funny because I've never had allergies, but here I am sneezing. My husband's mm-hmm. sneezing. Everywhere I go, you kind of, have that. Talk to us. How common are allergies?
Allergies are very common in both adults and children. Up to 50% of the population suffers from some sort of allergic disorder, whether it be from seasonal allergies, which would probably be most common, followed by pet dander or even food allergies.
Wow. And so what usually, I know that you mentioned a couple of triggers, but is it something like, can you grow out of it? Because I never had allergies as being younger, but now all of a sudden here they are. So how does that work?
So you can have allergies at any point in your life. For children, we usually see allergy symptoms start, if it's seasonal, around age 3 or 4, because that typically means that they've lived through 3 to 4 seasonal cycles. You can suffer from other non-seasonal allergies as well, pet dander, dust mites. So all these things are triggers that can occur at any point in your life.
So what are some of the over-the-counter remedies that aren't going to make our head feel like, whoa, we still got to go to work or we got to, tell us about that.
So I always suggest to talking to your Rite Aid pharmacist so that they can ask questions about other medications you may be taking, as well as just your medical history in general, to ensure that they recommend a product that's appropriate for you. But for over-the-counter traditional medications, normally those itchy, watery eyes can be treated with an antihistamine. And if you're stuffy, decongestants work well.
And can you name a couple so that our listeners can know what we need?
Sure. So for an antihistamine, that's be something like Benadryl. Now, that can cause drowsiness, and so if you don't want that drowsiness side effect, I would suggest something like Claritin or Zyrtec that are non-drowsy formulations.
Okay, and do you still need to check it to see if you're interactive with any other medications?
Yes.
That you are taking?
Regardless of what product you take, you need to just verify with your pharmacist or your physician and make sure that there's no drug interactions.
Okay, and how do we really know which one's good for us? Is it just that we don't want to go to sleep in the day? Is that the indication, or is there something else that we should know?
Well, if you're talking about an antihistamine, for example, Benadryl can cause drowsiness. So if you're taking it because, you know, you're waking up in the night, it may be best to purchase a Benadryl product. But if you want to be alert throughout the day and not have those drowsiness side effects, then you're going to go with your newer antihistamines, those less drowsy to non-drowsy products like your Claritin or your Zyrtec.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Well, again, all really good news. I know that for me, I have been, you know, totally sneezing, and we don't want that. So, of course, can you tell us again where we can find all this information?
Sure. Again, always talk to your Rite Aid pharmacist, or you can go to RiteAid.com about more products that we sell, even the alternative products like essential oils such as spearmint, peppermint, and eucalyptus, which can help with allergy symptoms, or saline nasal irrigation products like your neti pot.
Okay. Neti pots really help a lot. So thank you so much, Summer, and thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. I appreciate your input.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
Kim, thank you so much for being here. And of course, you know, survivalswimwithkim.com and her phone number 805-620-7177. Kim, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
You got it. And of course, we always end our show with a moment of happiness. When things go wrong, don't go with them. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.